Peter Rosenberg, Donald Marco LaGreca.
That's right.
And now we are joined by one of, I mean, he's an all-time icon on this show, in my opinion, Don, one of the great guests in the history of the K-Show.
I agree.
The great Buster Olney, who always makes time for us on a big news day. And Buster, obviously the news here is all Jacob deGrom getting into that MRI tube today. What do you know?
I have not gotten an update about what was found in the MRI today, but I really believe this, guys, that the Mets assumed that there was going to be a problem this year with DeGrom. You know, given the history that he had last year, a working mantra, I think, for front offices around baseball is the greatest predictor of injuries are previous injuries.
Right.
Right. And he had all those problems last year. And I think that's part of the reason why they went out and spent so much money on Max Scherzer and Chris Bassett, so that while, you know, we in the media, when they signed DeGrom, talked about the two aces, I absolutely believe that within the Mets front office, their thought was, well, if we get DeGrom for, you know, 15, 20 starts, that'll be awesome because of all those you know, the problems that he had. And you know, they saw the extensive injury history they had last year, and they went out and wanted to build the depth.
Right.
And so I'm sure that they're crossing their fingers, hoping that you know, that he can be functional for at least parts of this year.
And Buster, I was talking about at the beginning of the show, I don't think it's good news if the MRI finds nothing. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we have to figure out what's wrong so it can get fixed.
I agree with you, but I also will tell you this. I absolutely don't believe anything that they tell us about, you know, this injury last year. We saw it last year, where, you know, he was going through all these various issues, and we would get snippets of information. And believe me, you know, the Mets are not alone in this case. Like, every professional sports organization is going to hold back some information. And Jacob deGrom has the ability, through HIPAA law, to hold back some of it as well. And we saw the ultimate manifestation of that at the end of last season, where, you know, Sandy Alderson comes out and talks about a partial tear in his elbow. And a couple days later, deGrom says, I'm completely fine. I think they have an idea of what's going on with him. I think that, you know, that they understand that there's a lot of concerns there. It's part of the reason why when DeGrom came out, you know, a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, I'm going to opt out of this contract at the end of the year, that raised my eyebrows, because I'm like, well, how do you know that? Because if he doesn't get through this year making 15, 20 starts, it's going to completely change the context of his contract situation. I think the Mets would be thrilled if he was healthy enough to opt out of the contract at the end of the year.
Yeah, that would be terrific, because that meant he would be healthy enough to go out there, you know, and get some money. Well, you know, I brought up the beginning of last year, and again, I'm playing pop doctor, if that's even a thing, rather than psychologist, of he got caught up in such a big season and such an historic season. Did he overextend himself? Does he have to learn to dial it down at times? I'm not saying not give 100%, but is it necessary to throw that hard that often to be effective? Is that something he's going to have to learn, even if he's able to get through this injury?
Don, I asked a bunch of people that question this winter, and some people who know DeGrom, and they basically said it would be like asking a zebra to change his stripes. They talk about how, you know, DeGrom is so competitive, and he's trained his body to try to throw as hard as he possibly can. And so to ask him to dial back, they think that not only would it raise questions of physiology, you know, would he be at more risk if all of a sudden, you know, he was trying to, you know, lay back a little bit? Would that put him actually at more risk of an injury? But they just don't think that that's in his makeup. You know, he's a Lamborghini, and you know, he's not going off-road. That's the perspective that, of people that I know who know him well. They just say he's too competitive. Look, we've seen plenty of situations where pitchers, Pedro Martinez, Roger Clemens, power guys who, as they got older, they adapted. And I guarantee you that that conversation has taken place within the Mets organization about Jacob. But they also believe that his personality is such that's hard to get him to make that adjustment.
But even a Lamborghini's got to go 40 at the curve. You know, like, there's
right.
And I'm just saying, obviously, the pitchers are out of the equation, Buster. But, you know, if you got a guy 0-2, does the waist pitch have to be, you know, 97 miles per hour, or can you find a different way to get him out that still can be competitive? Like, it's part of pitching, right? You can be competitive, but also just learn to maybe just dial it down just a little bit, and make it part of, hey, I want to complete this game. I want to make 35 starts. I want to have a ton of innings. Spin it to them that way instead of living so much in the now, especially in this sport.
Don, there are people in the Mets organization who completely agree with you, but they also have doubts about whether or not Jacob would ever actually make that adjustment.
What do you think, Buster, the general reputation around baseball is with regard to DeGrom in this situation? Like, is this – or do we get crazy about it because it's local, but otherwise people think, oh, he's Jacob DeGrom, he's awesome? Or are people like, this is a thing?
Oh, Peter, they absolutely believe it's a thing because they, you know, they see the velocity readings and look at them, I think, the way that a lot of folks in the media do. Like, this is, okay, it's awesome. You know, when he's out there and he's blowing away hitters and he's with that, you know, being a converted shortstop, you know, learning his athleticism. And he just, you know, the athleticism is so staggering for, you know, for him to figure out how to maximize his delivery and throw that hard. And people love it within the sport. But at the same time, they're also, you know, over time, I think there's been a gradual perspective on high velocity pitchers that's shifted. It used to be that we were in awe of it. And now people who work in front offices are almost afraid of it. Like, when they see super high-end, you know, velocity readings, that's like looking at a car, to carry out the metaphor of redlining and being concerned. You know what? At some point, it's going to blow out. And with all these guys, with all pitchers,
yeah.
You know, it's a question of tread on a tire and how quickly they lose that. And so when, you know, we were hearing last year, from the Mets that, well, you know, he's got an issue in his side. Okay, well, there's some shoulder soreness, but we don't think it's that big of a deal. Well, he's got some elbow issues. People around the sport were rolling their eyes saying, there's got to be something more in there than what they're telling us.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Talking to Buster Olney here on the Michael Kay Show, Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg. What I never understood recently, Buster, from the analytics side of, you don't care if you strike out anymore, right? Strikeouts are way up and they don't care. Then why do we care so much about pitchers who strike out batters? Shouldn't that be a fait accompli then, if they don't care if they strike out?
Well, and it's absolutely a fair point. But as we've seen, you know, with teams like the Tampa Bay Rays, who've had so much success, they don't want their guys to be, 10,000 K runners. They want them to be sprinters. And they have no problem, because their feeling is, look, the best possible result for a pitcher would be, generally speaking, is to miss bats. And if it means that you're going to line up, you know, five pitchers who are going to miss bats, and strike out 40% of the hitters they face, teams, generally speaking, will take that, which is why you're seeing starting pitchers go down more and more and more. And the conversation among older players is, back in the day or even 10 years ago, they would teach starting pitchers, look, don't show them your best stuff, first time through the order. Show them your secondary stuff. I had a conversation with Lance Lynn the other day, and he said, that's not a conversation that happens anymore. Everybody now, it seems, young pitchers, they're basically saying go as hard as you can from the get-go, show your best stuff, right, throw your best stuff at hitters right away. And that certainly has been reflected. And obviously we've seen DeGrom pitch in recent years, and he's been utterly dominant. But we've seen so many injuries in the sport with that approach from pitchers.
So I got to ask you, Buster, if this season were to start with a lengthy stay on the IL for DeGrom, did the Mets do enough this offseason to be able to maintain and be competitive without him?
In my opinion, no. I think the Braves are so much better than what they're given credit for. I think people look at the 88 win total last year and say, well, the Braves are kind of lucky to win the World Series. They won two-thirds of their games in the last 3 months of last year, August, September, and October, without the best player in baseball, arguably, yeah. Ronald Acuña Jr., and he's coming back. And, yeah, they lose Freddie Freeman, but they get Matt Olson, who's probably a little bit better defender, hits for a lot of power. That young core of players they have now has more experience, postseason experience. It's going to be weaponized. Guys like Kyle Wright, I think, are going to take a step forward. They're a great team. So I think the bar is high for the Mets. The good thing from, the Mets' perspective, they did go out and get Scherzer, who to me is like a Nolan Ryan outlier. He's demonstrated that he's going to find a way to go out there and, make 30 starts and be really effective. Bassett's obviously going to be terrific. And we know this. If the Mets need something, Steve Cohen's going to go out there and do it. And he doesn't really care what the other owners feel like, think of him when he spends a lot of money.
So if we do get the worst news of all, will you just slide Lugo into the fifth starter, everybody moves up, or is there something they can do immediately? Not to replace DeGrom, he's irreplaceable, but at least replace him in the rotation.
Well, you could theoretically, the Oakland Athletics, who have such a terrific front office, smart, they didn't get what they wanted in terms of offers for Sean Manaea and for Frankie Montas. Those two guys are out there, and, they're figuring that at some point, one of these contenders, maybe it's the Yankees, maybe it's the Mets, maybe it's some other team, are going to step up and give them what they want. Their experience, Matt Olson, they got tons of offers for Matt Olson, but when Freddie Freeman left, the Braves got desperate. They made what's considered to be in the industry a really heavy, a heavy price that they paid to get Matt Olson. At some point, somebody's going to do that for one of those two Oakland starters. And the Mets are in a position now, given, the fact that they pushed so many chips into the middle of the table. You got to believe that that's part of the conversation within their organization, whether it's today or whether it's in 2 weeks, but you've got two premium starters available.
And I guess before we let you go, let's shift over to the Yankees. Aaron Judge, what's the latest on his extension? What do you think he ends up getting?
I'm count me as skeptical as to whether or not they'll actually work something unless the Yankees pay absolute premium price. And I say this not as a judgment of Aaron, but the general perspective about him is he's a big union guy. Like, he's not giving the Yankees a hometown discount to stay. And if he stays, it's going to be a $30 million a year contract. It's going to be an enormous deal. And maybe, given all that Steve Cohen spent, at some point, Hal Steinbrenner is going to feel the pressure. He's talked about how he really doesn't feel that. I think at some point you have to feel it, right? And at some point you have to step up. It's the reason why they didn't go after Carlos Correa. It's the reason why they didn't spend big on any of the other players. They wanted to save the money for Aaron Judge. They need to get it done. And if I'm Aaron Judge's agent, I know that about them. But I also know Aaron Judge is going to want absolutely top dollar.
Buster, thank you so much. If you find anything else out, please hit up Andrew and let us know.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Buster.
Appreciate
You're
it,
the
Buster.
Best. Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point with Judge is that they, one of the reasons, or at least the speculation was, they didn't want to add more payroll because they wanted to make sure they paid Judge. Well, now you got to pay Judge.
That's exactly. That was the point, right? He did enough. He warrants it. Don, I don't think he could have done much more last year to show that if it was a test, he passed.
It's just a matter of the years, right? Right now it seems like 6 years with a club option for a seventh. He probably wants the seventh. He knows he'll get that in free agency. So I understand the Yankees playing hardball, but will judge, Peter, in your mind, test free agency because the Yankees didn't offer that seventh year, or will he just eventually say, all right, they're not caving, I'll just take it because I want to be a Yankee. I love it here. And I'll just play so well in those 6 years, they'll have to pick up the option for the seventh. What do you do if you're a judge?
Yeah, I see, that's tough, though, because he knows his age. He knows his body type. I mean, one of the reasons he wants that seventh year so bad, Don, is because Judge played in college, and he's already older. He doesn't have the years other people have. So I understand why that would be a big sticking point for him. He does seem to really love being the man here. Do you think there's any enticing Judge with a captaincy? Would he care?
If you care that much about being a Yankee, and maybe it's just lip service, but I think he's been here long enough to understand what it is to be a New York Yankee, to be the captain, but he probably knows that if he signs the deal, he'll be the captain. They don't always give it out.
But they don't always give it out.
So, you know, listen, if he signed a 6-year deal with a seventh year, I think they will name him captain. I can't guarantee that, but I think in at some point they would name him captain. But I don't know if it's all about the money. I guess what does the C mean?
Right, exactly. Well, we'll talk to more of you about all of these things, Judge's contract, the DeGrom news. Hopefully we'll get some news after the Mets game. We'll have Billy King on 4:30, Don, to talk a little Duke UNC and some NBA. And then at 5 o'clock, the GOAT, maybe the greatest voice ever in front of a microphone when it comes to sports, and that is the great Bob Costas, will join us. All here on the K Show with Peter and Don on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.